Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech will by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit enjoy the Spirit.
Communicates from the conclusion back to the introduction. Whereas man sees things from the introduction going through to the conclusion. So when God says something to you, He is not operating under probability. He is saying it's like a match He had watched. And He already knows how it will end. And circumstances along the way, because you are not in the same position with Him, there is tend to be instability in our faith. We tend to, flip away. But God Almighty who speaks is so sure. The tendency for man to allow doubt is there. If you have done the study of the scriptures, there was no single person that did not have a trying time of doubt. And it was an experience that was even shared with our Lord Jesus Christ. To show that as long as we wear this flesh, the tendency to reconsider is there. So in the Garden of Gethsemane, you heard Jesus saying, "Father, if it is your will, let this cup pass over me." And immediately He responded, "Not my will, but your will be done." Now, that was a trying time. And that is what happened to us. You see someone like Elijah, who just caught fire down now, and everywhere was boiling, and everybody knew that a great prophet was in Israel. But not quite long, you see him again sitting down under the tree and saying, "God, kill me. I am not better than my fathers." Now, you cannot reconcile the two Elijahs, but it's the same person. Then you see a man like Abraham who God said, "Leave your country, leave all that you do, and go to where I'm going to show you." As at that time, Mesopotamia was the most developed place in the world. And Abraham left that place, followed God. That must be a great man, ready to go to wherever the Lord led to. That's exploit. But the Bible says that when famine came in the land of promise, Abraham left and he went down to Egypt without even asking God. You know, this was a man who followed God to that place. And then when challenge came there, he didn't even go back to the one who brought him there and say, "This place you have brought me, there is famine." He didn't even ask question anymore. So he took his own initiative and went down to Egypt. And of course, you know what happened in that place. He got what he wanted. They were giving animals, they were giving food, they were giving everything. But the wife was taken. And when the wife was taken, God has to intervene very quickly. Because so that that's the lineage from where the Messiah will come. And then it will be wrong for God to allow sexual intercourse to happen with the king of Egypt at that time. And so despite the stubbornness of what Abraham did that God was angry with, God quickly came and went to the man and said, "Don't touch this one, no. This is a pure lineage that is going to give birth to something." Now, at the end of the day, it was a pagan now who was telling Abraham, "So you are a prophet and you are hiding here because of food. Go back." So Abraham was able to go back to the land of promise, but he went with a luggage. It was in Egypt they got Hagar, who eventually gave birth to Ishmael. And you know the rest of the story. So if he had stayed where God said he should stay, there won't be Hagar and there won't be Ishmael. So when we, from God's plans and program, We know that God will always forgive. But the scar, may God help us in Jesus' name. All right. But as far as God is concerned, God, His word is stable. But we are human beings. We can easily be agitated. And so I'm going to look at five things and we're going to pray. One, we cannot hurry God up. We can't hurry Him up. And look at this. In Genesis 3:15, God planned and announced the redemption of man. I'll put enmity between you and the woman. The seed of the woman will bruise your head, while you will bruise his heel. And so, people knew that Messiah will come to deliver Israel. But people thought such a thing should happen quickly. You know, God, this is God saying, I'm going to save humanity. So every generation thought, because sin was getting rampant, so people wanted God to do it so that sin will be judged, salvation will be procured. But you know that despite all the prayer, despite all the agitation of the people, it happened at the time that God has allotted. The Bible says that when the actual time came, God sent his son. And so in Luke chapter 10 verse 24, Jesus says that to the disciples, he said, blessed are the eyes who see what you see now. He said, many prophets before you wanted to see him. Many prophets and kings, men like Daniel. I mean, people who did their best, you know, they wanted the thing to happen. In the attack, God said to Daniel, no, for you, Daniel, you will sleep with your father, and I will raise you up at the last day. So, think like David, I know my Lord will come. He will not allow my soul to remain perpetually in Hades. So all these people were longing. They wanted to see that thing that is promised. Because Moses has said that God is going to raise another prophet for you. He's the one that all of you should listen to. And then the promise of Judah, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the lawgiver from among his seed, until Shiloh come. And unto him shall the garden of the people be. So everybody was longing to see that promise. But despite that, God was not in a hurry. And so, from the day of pronouncement in Genesis chapter 3 verse 15, it still took God well over 4,000 years before Jesus came. So his word is stable. And we cannot hurry him up. He will still do what he has planned to do at the time he has planned to do them. That is our God. Number two, God does not do guesswork. He means what he says, and he says what he means. A young man had a dream, Genesis 37, and that's Joseph, had a dream. The interpretation of which was his brothers. By the way, you understand their family rivalry, which began between Leah and Rachel. And you know that there was enmity between those women because of the way Jacob himself handled the family. And Leah was giving birth to children. Later the maids were giving birth. But Rachel had no child until she cried out and said, give me child or I die. And then the other man said, am I in the place of God who closed your womb and all that? Now, when Joseph eventually came, it was a relief for Rachel and a relief also for Jacob. But Jacob did something that It created problem for the young boy. In the land of Israel, there is something that is reserved. The way they share properties is that no matter the numbers of children a man has, they will divide it into room. They will divide the properties into two. I mean, it's even into three. The first son will take double portion. Then the rest of the children will share the rest. And it's the first son that will share for all the children. Now, when there is controversy about who actually is the first son, because that time polygamy was allowed. I mean, people had children. So the man before he dies was to indicate who his first son was. And the way he would do it is he would sew a coat of many colors and put on the first son. Now, when Jacob did his own, he put it on the other small boy, the first son of Rachel. Because in his own thinking, it was actually Rachel he planned to marry. The rest were accidents. Now, let me ask you. And Rachel had grown-up children, men who were sleeping with their father's wife. So they were not men like Reuben. They were not children. And they were seeing these things happening in the same house. And do you think there will be peace in such a place? There can't be peace there. And then the small boy now, to confirm what has happened, had a dream. And the dream is that all these men will bow to him. And in the innocence of a boy, he gathered them. Brother Reuben, Mufari. Kilo more. Brother Levi. Then like, what's the problem? I had a dream. So what is it about? I saw that we're binding. She said, And then suddenly, all your home did what? They were bowing to my home. So, okay. This boy now is responding to what his father. And you know that was a problem. Now, not quite long after that, the boy had another dream. As at that time, the mother had already died when she was giving birth to Benjamin. And so Leah, as it is in polygamous home, Leah became the mother of the family. And if there is no crisis, Leah was still qualified to be his mother because she was the mother's elder sister. But let me ask you, you think Leah also will be happy hearing that type of dream? That all our own children. So not quite long, the boy had another dream. And went to the father and said, I've dreamt again. And this time around, it's not only the 11 stars who are bowing down, even the sun and the moon. Baba, we will be one more kwaja here. So that means even me, myself, and then your mother will bow to you. I don't need to tell you that there will be war in that place. It will not be a game of, we will now see how this thing will come to pass. Now, the events from after that were events that will make Joseph himself to doubt whether those dreams were actually true. He was sold to the Ishmaelites. I've caught the other story. Being sold to the Ishmaelites, you understand the story also. The Ishmaelites were also angry with them because their father was the first son. But because they said he was not the son of the covenant, so they were cast somewhere. So that anger was there also. There was war between, and you also know that the hand of Ishmael will be against his brother, and his brother's hands will be against him. And so when his brother saw the Ishmaelites coming, they said, "This is, we are weary." Take this one. So you do with this one as you wish. But there's something we need to learn about that young boy. He believed in the stability of God's promise, despite the circumstances along the way. And it was in the believing that that made him to live sinless life. As at the time Joseph ran away from sin, it's a time that is supposed to have picked offense in God because of the event that have taken place in his life. He said, well, after all, if God could not deliver me from the hand of my brothers there and all that I have gone through, why must I continue to keep myself, not to offend him when he has treated me this way? He didn't do so because he knows that God is not a man. God is stable. Now, when he got into prison, if you look at how the chief butler and the chief baker did not go to him, he was the one who saw them that they were not cheerful. And circumstances that brought Joseph to make him not to be cheerful also. Because it was a time that God was supposed to show up, but he did not show up. Because the woman had an evidence and presented in court that this boy actually wanted to sleep with me. And as a godly boy that he was, I know that Joseph must have prayed as it is to every one of us. God, show yourself. Let people know that this woman is lying against me. Prove my innocence. But God was quiet. God was silent. And so the enemy prevailed. He landed in prison. Such a man must be going through depression in the prison. He should be moody. He should just keep to himself. Because the rest had different offenses they actually committed. But in his own case, he was suffering for what he didn't do. But you see him, he was cheerful. He was still going about until he saw those guys frowning their face and said, come, tear up, what's the problem? And it was at that point they started telling him the dreams they had. And number two, himself has developed from dreaming to interpreting dreams. Now, he didn't say that even the dream, when I was dreaming, I have not benefited anything from it. So he was still increasing his capacity, despite the fact that the first talent has not brought something good. He knew that since God is faithful, as he continued to improve on himself, in the prayer, you know, in manifesting the gift of the Spirit and acquiring more gifts, God's appointed time will come. And that's a very great lesson. And so, at this point, it was not dreaming again that brought Joseph out. It was an additional gift he acquired, ability to now interpret dream. Hallelujah. And so, in Genesis chapter 45, I said, God does not do guesswork. Two events before that time. He was a leader of the slaves in Potiphar's house. But that was not the promise. Specifically, those who will bow were visible. God didn't just say people will bow to you. He gave him the people who will bow. Say Simon, Levi, Judah. So, but it is easier for Joseph to rest on his oars in Potiphar's house and agree that that dream has come to pass. Because he was put in charge of Potiphar's house, which put other slaves under his command. So when we think it is guesswork, we can conclude that the dream has come to pass. But he knew that it had not come to pass. Now when he got to the prison also, the warders also did the same thing, put him in charge of the prisoners, which made them to be bowing to him as a leader. But he knew that this was not the actual thing that God said. Hallelujah. And so in Genesis chapter 45, he was seated as the prime minister administering Israel Of course, let me add this and see. When he interpreted the dream of the chief butler, then he behaved as a man, which any of us can do. He said, when you are restored back to your position, remember me. Because I didn't do anything. They just brought me to this place. But the Bible says that, but the man forgot. Now, if you are the one who did this type of thing, you know, there's a difference between when you are not promised freedom and when you are sure it's coming. If Joseph had spent years in that prison, he wouldn't have any problem until he is living every day with the hope that Chief Butler will mention his case. That will now make the prison to be difficult. It will be like the story of the tortoise who fell inside pit and had been there for so many days, and somebody came to rescue the tortoise. I said, tortoise, you are there. Let me rescue you. And tortoise said, do quick, this place is hot. Now, he has been there all this while when nobody came around. But you see, this is our God. Even if we don't understand what he is doing, he is working. As at that time, the Pharaoh in Egypt did not need Joseph. That's number one. Number two, the law that governed Egypt, like I mentioned yesterday, you see that even there was incest and everything was so secluded that a stranger could not hold of it in Egypt. So if the chief butler had mentioned to that Pharaoh that there's a young man in the prison, they lie against him, blah, 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 the highest that will happen is what? They will set him free. The young man, you are from where? I'm a Jew. What did you do? Go back home. That's the highest that would have happened. But for the sake of Joseph, God did something. Prior to that time, Egypt had never been invaded before. So God now brought a group of people called Exodus, and they invaded Egypt and killed the reigning Pharaoh. Then one of them installed himself as Pharaoh. When he did, the Egyptian elders told him and said, no, a stranger cannot hold office here. And so that Pharaoh said, okay, that law that says that strangers must not hold office is cancelled from today. I am the Pharaoh here. Now, it was that Pharaoh now that dreamt. And so when that Pharaoh dreamt, and the chief butler, God now taught the chief butler, it is time now, remember him. And then Joseph came out. The law that would have stopped Joseph from becoming prime minister had already been taken care of. So the 2 years that God was silent and Joseph was in the prison saying that what is wrong, maybe God is unfaithful, God was actually working for him. And so in Genesis chapter 45, he was seated as the prime minister who designed a program for Egypt, and by extension the whole world. Then he saw his brothers coming. And according to the exactness of what God said, all of them came to buy food and follow one another. And Joseph was seated on the throne, looking at them as they were coming in. Simeon, Levi, Judah, Reuben. They didn't recognize him because he has changed. He recognized them because they have not changed. And that's the end result of wickedness. So they just came the way they used to be, and so they came. And as they came, they saw him and went down. And the young man remembered the exactness of God's word. God who does not fail, who does not do guesswork. And the rest is history. In that 45, you know, he was pushing them here and there. But in 45, he came down. and gathered them to himself. And the Bible says he told them, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into slavery. Is my father still alive? And it was happy reunion. The Bible says they cried until Pharaoh's household had it. Now, that is telling us that God's word is stable, even if seasons are changing. Now, we have seen kings changing now, but it remains stable. Anyway, historically, the real Egyptians eventually, after many years, took over the throne back. And that's why they dealt with the children of Israel, because the Exodus escaped into the jungle, and Israel remained. And said, you people, you will suffer. So that's what we call another Pharaoh who knew not Joseph. All right. So God's word is stable. Number three, his ways are not our ways. Isaiah chapter 55 verse 8. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Jesus Christ came to this world to save humanity, and he had only 33 years to spend. If you are the one to plan it, how will you plan it? 33 years to spend. And the message must cover the whole world. How will you plan it? You will plan it in a way that you should start early. Now, how can somebody who has that number of years spend up to the age of 30 doing carpentry work? Well, now, humanly speaking, won't you say this man is not serious? And that's the reason why a time came that even Mary and his brothers almost did not believe him again. Because he has stayed long in being ordinary. So that the final day he went out and started, they came and called him. And stood outside and said, I better call that young man to come. What is he doing there? Because nobody expected him to do it again. He has spent so long doing things that look irrelevant. That is our God. And within the 3 years he walked, he was still able to say, it is finished. You know, so we cannot use our own yardstick of measurement to really approach this divine project. He does it in his own ways. One of the men that God used maximally in Africa, his name is Simon Kibangu. In Congo, he established the largest African indigenous church. Now, God called him at the age of 67. And he operated that church for 6 months before government arrested him because people stopped drinking. And the income went down, the government of Congo went down. So they put him in jail. But within that 4 years, he had over 4 million converts. This was a man who was called at the age of 67. Now, humanly speaking, is it not too late? God is not a man. I read a similar story of a young man, which is like opposite of that one. This one was called when he was very young. How was he called? A missionary from China came and was giving testimony of what was going on in China at that time. And at the end, he said people should give offering to support the missions in China. But there was a small boy of 10 years old. So the boy came, dropped the little pence with him and stood with the offering. He didn't go again. So when the service ended and they carried the offering, he followed the offering plate. So when they got, they said, you want to collect him? He said, no, I am part of the offering. So what is this boy saying? They called the pastor. What are you saying? He said, I gave everything I had and added myself. So I'm part of the offering. So they handed him over to the missionaries to China. And they took him back to China, and God used him greatly in China. So he wrote his autobiography and titled it, We Signed Away Our Lives. So we cannot really pin God down that this is the system he must use. Number four, when God's time for a particular season in your life comes, he will keep sending signals to you through several means. Through his word, the word will be coming in church and be eating that area. Everybody will be eating it. Every guest man will be eating it. Everything will just be eating it. You see, your TV is eating the same thing. Your radio, everybody is eating the same thing. Through circumstances, through prophecies, and through dreams, and all the rest, you just know that the time for this has come. We have an example of that in the life of Esther. In Esther chapter 2, verses 21 through 23, there was an account of a man there called Mordecai. And what did Mordecai do? People were planning to assassinate the king, and Mordecai got wind of the plot. Now, the law in Persia is that when you save the king from danger, you are entitled to promotion. And so when Mordecai did this, he reported the matter, but the officer in charge of issues like this, his name was Haman. And so it was Haman that will be the next person who will tell the king what has happened. Now, in chapter 3, verse 1, after Mordecai had reported, they set up and they have confirmed that the thing was true. And so Mordecai was waiting for what? To be announced, promoted. But 3 verse 1, who was promoted? Haman, what do you think happened? What do you think must have happened there? You know, you say, this is somebody who should speak on your behalf, that this is the plot, and you should be promoted. Then the next thing you hear is that the man is promoted. You can guess what happened there. That means the man didn't mention your name there. Whereas your name is in the record. But the man must have told the king that he was the one who did it. And then he was promoted. You now know why Mordecai refused to bow to him. And say, no, I will not. I will not bow. Go and report to the king. Maybe we'll go there and sort it out there. And so that process continued. Now, in chapter 3, verse 9, this same Haman went to the king. He didn't say, there's a Jew here who is not bowing to me. You know, that one will not sell. He said, O king, there are people in this kingdom who are not obedient to your laws. Anything you order, they do something different. There is no king who would like to hear that. And right there, he said, if you allow me, let's clear them. But he knew that the king may say, well, we didn't plan for that this year. He said, if it is money, I'm going to pay 10,000 shekels of silver, which is 3.48 billion dollars. 10,000 talents of silver is 3.48 billion dollars. I think it's more money. That's what somebody wanted to pay to wipe out another group of people. And that is the level a threat can get. And so, the king had no option again because the man is ready to pay. He said, I will deposit the money in the king's treasury so that you will know money will not stop it, because to kill a whole nation is not easy. Because from town to town, from village to village, you employ a lot of executioners and all that. And the king said, well, you are the officer, and then you also are the owner of the money. Go ahead and do it. And so the children of Israel went into prayers. But where I'm going is this. The season did not favor Esther I think we remember now. Before it will be the turn of Esther to see the king, Haman must have carried out his order. So it wasn't a favorable season. But with prayer and divine backing and assurance, we know that Esther went there and the children of Israel were saved. Why? Israel cannot be wiped out under the surface, under heaven, because of the program of God. Christ will come through Israel. But the first coming, he will still sit on the throne of David, of Israel, even in the second coming. So there are programs of God in front of Israel that, irrespective of the controversy, ganging up against them, Israel will always remain. Because God's word is stable. And it will bring it to pass. And then, finally for tonight, when God instructs that the season has come, we must rise to the occasion in prayers. What must we do? We must rise to the occasion with what? Prayers. That's the way God operates. If he says, the time has come, the next thing is not to start dancing. The violent take it by force. We have a responsibility to now stand our ground in prayer and receive what God has promised. So believers need to have this understanding. It's not just, it will just happen automatically. No, we have a role to play. Esther prayed here, and Mordecai prayed, and they were even ready to damn the consequences. I didn't even mention that why this thing became so complicated was that the king of Persia, even the marriage of Esther to the king was a problem itself, because the king of Persia must not marry a stranger. And so when Esther was going for that pageantry, Mordecai warned her, never reveal your identity. Go there, because they were all born in Persia. Israel stayed over 70 years in captivity. So Esther was born in Persia. She understood the language. She was like them. And so she went into that. And let me now ask us about, as I've always asked, is it possible to marry a wife for so many years without finding out where the wife came from? Is it possible naturally? It is not, but God was involved. The king never saw the reason to probe into where the wife came from. Because somebody holds the remote of this world in his hand, and he directs their fears the way he likes. And we all respond to his signal, because whatever he wants stands. And that's why it was difficult for Esther to resolve this issue. What will you go and tell the king? The people they want to kill are Jews. They are not Persians. The king must not marry a stranger. So how will you go and plead and say, please, they should not kill these people? The king will say, what is your own problem with them? And then you will be forced to do what? To say, hey, those are my people. And when you do that, you will die. Because you have deceived the king of Persia, which is contrary to the law of Medes and Persia. So that's why it became complicated. That's why he called for prayer. You'll be wondering, the king not be her husband? She should talk to the king now. No. Because talking to the king will lead to several other problems. But that same law left a leeway. They said whenever the king is happy, and he raised the royal scepter up, whatever offense you have committed is cancelled. And so whatever you want is given. So when Esther appeared, the Bible says the king saw the beauty and raised that staff up. Say, what do you want, Queen Esther? Even up to the half of my kingdom, I will give it to you. So Esther used that opportunity to explain something. the king that the king didn't know before. And as at that level, there was no enchantment against Jacob. There's no divination against Israel because their God has taken over. So that is our God. We must trust him. He knows what he is doing. He's a great God. And so, we must birth the new season with prayers. When we know that a new season has come in our lives, God has through his word, through several means, we know, you know, that there is this divine ministration. We just know that a new season has come upon us. Then we bath it with prayers. Why? If we don't, we will delay it. The children of Israel were programmed to stay in captivity for how many years? 400 years. They stayed how many years? 430 years. They delayed the time by them. They delayed the season by extra 30 years. And so that's why in Babylon, where there was a wise man who was following up the 70 years they were to spend. And when the 70 years came, what did he do? He threw himself into fasting and praying, repenting on behalf of the nation of Israel and telling God, we don't want to stay over time here. The 70 years you have given us has come. Now, somebody will think, there is not 70 years he gave them. They should relax now. They don't need to do anything. God should be able to. No. If Daniel had not prayed, nothing would have happened. And God remained faithful. So our responsibility is to respond. When the word of God comes strongly to us, and in our spirit we have a feeling that we are entering into a new season, then we should approach the new season with prayers. When Jesus was leaving the disciples, he didn't tell them to be doing whatever they are doing, that the new season will just come. He said, gather yourself at the upper room. What were they doing there? Praying so that they will bask the new season, which is the church. And that is exactly what happened. So, for a new season to come, people must embrace it, having the understanding that the timing of God has come, then we approach it with prayers. And as we do so, we see that the new season will descend, and God's program and plan will be done. Our God is stable. His world is stable. The Bible says that his world is settled. Everything he has said concerning the world, it will be. What he has said concerning the nation of Israel, it will be. One of the reasons why I fear this God, there was a prophecy, I think in Ezekiel, which even the Bible students, if they had their way, they would have removed it from the Bible. And that is the eastern gate of Jerusalem. He said, the eastern gate of Jerusalem shall be closed, and it shall not be opened until the Messiah come the second time. You know, that's a very dangerous one. And Israel left that place for many years, about 1,400 something years, came back there, and up to many years after that time, there was no gate that was closed in Jerusalem. So the Bible students reading that type of thing, and the thing is not true, they have problem. But for you to fear this God, a Muslim, when the Ottoman took over that place at the time of Ottoman Empire, a Muslim who has never read Bible ordered the eastern gate to be locked, and that nobody must open it. And so they locked that place up till today, until the Messiah will come, and he will enter Jerusalem through that place, according to the word of our God. So he is the controller of this place. And he is the God of everyone. Only he is not the father of everyone. So he can instruct an idol worshiper on what to do, and he's going to do it. He can instruct animals to do something, and they will everything respond to him. Everything responds. He said to the Peter, go to the river, the first fish you see there, pick it up. The money we need is there. So everything responds to him. And so when that time comes, he will make everything to work in your favor, so that his purpose and will for our lives will be established. Let's bow down our heads for prayers. The stability of God's plans and programs, even in changing seasons, no matter how things keep changing, that word that God has given you, God is sure of it. I don't know the word he gave you. It could have been many years ago. I don't know the revelation you saw. I don't know the prophecy that is on your head. Presently, everything may not look like it. But I've come to say this evening that he who said it is faithful. And like the issue of March, I said when I started, he has watched the match to an end. He already knows who is going to win. Talk to him. It's our responsibility to bask it in prayer when we have a signal that our season has come for a particular thing that God has given to us. Let's pray to him this evening and say, God, number one, I don't want to be in the dark concerning my life. It is what you understand you can pray about. Open my understanding, O God, so that I will know your purpose for my life. I will know what you are doing. When I have the understanding of your plan, your program, your purpose, it is then I will know what my prayers should be directed at. I don't want to overstay the captivity like the children of Israel did because of lack of understanding. I want to respond to your timing, your program, at appropriate season. I don't want to overstay the last season when I should have switched to the new season. Moleka bushi teleke pusi tayeka limu sinduli baleka pasha talaba. Give me the grace of precision so that I will be precise on this journey. Like the Master Jesus was precise, like Paul was. Paul was able to say that I have finished the race. It is a race you understand. You will know when you finish it. What you don't know, you cannot deduce when you finish it or not. I don't want to be in the dark. Open my eyes, O God. Let me know your plan. Let me know what you are saying. Let me know what you have programmed concerning my life, concerning my future. Let me know the word that is for me, so that I will live according to your word. All the day.
We believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many Spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocesis every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.